Take your Bible and let's go. I'm going to go to two scriptures just right off the bat. And I encourage you to bring your Bible on Wednesday nights, and you'll have these books as well. But when you go to church, and we train our children, they in this youth program that we're doing and that's been being done, to bring their Bible. If they bring their Bible, they get points for bringing their Bible. If they bring their self, they get points. If they bring somebody, they get points. But we ought to train them. It'd be sort of hypocritical for us to tell them, don't forget your Bible. You won't get your points if you don't bring your Bible. And then we don't have one in their hand. I compared a lot of times, like going to the table, going to church without your Bible is like going to the table without a fork. It's a whole lot better if you have it. Have God's Word. Go with us. Turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3 and the Gospel of John chapter number 8. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and John chapter number 8. As you're turning, just by way of introduction, this is week 1. And we will be, as I mentioned, we'll be going through, I believe I read through last week sort of the how things went, are going to go, and I think I may have given some information that's not exactly right, but you'll see as we go along how this will work. But I want to explain some of that as we go. But by way of introduction, week 1 starts out with the Word of God. Everything that we believe, matter of fact, it's impossible to disciple somebody apart from the Word of God. It's impossible to do anything, spiritually speaking, without the Word of God. Our preaching would be vain and void without the Word of God. I mean, what would we preach without the Word of God? Listen, God's Word is critical. I make no bones about it. Jerry, I don't apologize. Preacher Duckett, I never will. I don't care if the whole world goes this way. Long as I'm living, this old King James Bible will be the Bible that I believe is perfect, pure, settled for God's people. It's God's Word. Everything God wanted mankind to know, He put it in this book called the Holy Bible, the Word of God. And there is no new revelations. There was nothing left out. I know a lot of these have tried to say, you know what, they should have put in, we forgot the Apocrypha and all that. Listen, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Listen, let me tell you something. From Genesis to the book of Malachi, that Old Testament, then those 400 silent years and picking up in the Gospel of Matthew all the way to the book of the Revelation, to the very last word in the book of the Revelation. And that's everything from start to finish and everything in between that the God of all heaven and earth and the God of the universe wanted humanity to know. And so therefore, this is ground level. This is the foundation. And if the foundation be removed, the walls will not stand, the house will not stand. We must have the right foundation. We must. We can never major too much on the Word of God. And if we're going to have discipleship, and if we're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and have the wisdom of God, we must have God's Word. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but knowledge will not do you. Listen, libraries of historical books. I forget one of the libraries that stretched for miles of all kind of scientific and historic and theoretical and laws of all these, you know, Newton and all these different things that have changed. I mean, it was miles of books and literature and you could read every page of every one of those books on every shelf and read every book in the world and gain great knowledge. But all that put together don't have the power of one word of God's book. God's word is alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. Yeah. Sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. And so if we're going to have discipleship, we got to start with God's word. Amen. And so that's where we'll begin. So by way of introduction, welcome to the discipleship journey. Discipleship is an exciting process of growing in God's grace in your relationship with your Savior. Now you say, well, preacher, I thought you said was majoring on the Word of God. Now you're talking about the Savior. They're one and the same. You can't separate God from His Word. That's why I have a problem, Brother Ned, with these people who want to say they can have a different version of the Bible. You can have an NIV, and you can have the New American Standard, and you can have the Message, and you can have whatever other M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-C version you want. That's chaos. That's confusion. God ain't the author of confusion. God inspired His Word. That word inspired means God breathed. God moved on holy men of old. That's inspiration. And then God preserved His Word. And I hold in my hand the inspired, preserved Word of God.
Hey, yes, sir.
There cannot be two, three, four, nor more. Y'all listening? Y'all with me? How can you have two of something that's perfect? Cannot be improved upon. I mean perfection, preserved. And they say something different. One's got to be wrong. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, sir.
And I know all these theologians and doctors and all these seminaries. I sat under them long enough to figure out how ignorant they were.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost just come across me and my heart and say, just like a guitar attitude, wrong, wrong. They'd say, oh, but you just a country bumpkin. You just ain't never learned better. Holy Ghost said, wrong. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule your heart. I didn't have no peace about that. I'd pick this Bible up and God speak to me from it. I'd pick one of them other ones up and, hey, it just wouldn't speak to me.
Right.
Didn't have no power.
Amen,
Richard. Amen.
Amen.
You say, oh, you just don't know no better. Hey, I've sat under men who's got enough degrees behind their name to pop a thermometer, and they ain't going to change my mind about it because I know the God of heaven who put it in His Word, and He put an exclamation point, and He declared it so. And if I have to He said, my Word will stand when the world's on fire. My Word will stand.
Amen. Praise God.
Oh, Voltaire, that old wicked man, he swore that the Bible would be dead and buried before he died. And do you know that when he died, that old God-hating, God-denying atheist that hated the Bible, made it his life mission that he would see to it that this King James Bible would be dead and buried. And when he was dead and buried, God saw to it that the Geneva Bible they started in his home. They started the Geneva Bible right there in Voltaire. That's right. Telling you, listen. After all the God-hating, Bible-hating, men are gone. I'm saying you can have a lot of knowledge. Ever, Bible says, and especially in these last days. See, the devil's tried to banish that book and burn that book. And he has. I mean, if you look back through history, you can see that they've piled Bibles up made mountains of them and burned them and banished them and buried them. Trying to do it. The devil was behind all that. Hitler. Study about some of these some of the most wicked men. They tried to put it out. The Catholic Church. The Catholic Church. They wouldn't let the people have a copy of God's Word. But the devil's smart. That's why the Bible says to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But the devil figured out every time he would burn it out, revival would flame up. Every time he'd banish it out, it would come back with a raging fury. And so in these last days, the devil, in these dark, deceptive days, where the church has got lukewarm, lazy, let anything go about it. Don't stand up for nothing. Drop your standards. Most churches you go into even says that they are old-fashioned, King James Bible-believing churches. A lot of these hymnals, a lot of these hymn books, they'll slide them new versions in the top of these pages. Listening? They did that where I was at. You know what we did with them? We ordered new ones. We got rid of them. Somebody said, well, we can give them away. They're brand new. I said, we ain't going to give them. That'd be like giving poison to somebody. Like one old boy got saved, and he was a dope dealer. I led to the Lord. He said, I got a big stash of dope at the house. He said, I guess I could go give it to my friends or at least sell it and tithe. I said, no, you missing it. And he burnt, Brother Greg Watts, he burnt it. And I guess everybody got high within a country mile. He had so much of that dope. But he burned it. And that's what any piece of literature, it ain't King James Bible. You don't need to have no part of it. Leave that mess alone. And then I'm saying in these last days, the devil's he's wised up. And he's not trying to burn them out no more. He's not trying to banish them, bury them. You know what he's doing? He's multiplied. He said, if I can't do away with it, I'll just make so many of them. I'll make so many of them that you won't be able to find the real one. You go to a Bible bookstore, you'll have to get down on your knees and peel through layer after layer before you can find the King James Bible. Ever learning, not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge is not supreme. No, wisdom and God's Word is supreme. You say, well, you just don't know. I'll just say this. Sir, ma'am, if I called this preacher's name out, probably everybody in here would know. He calls me constantly. He is one of my heroes. You'd know him. He's preached in these parts. May have preached here before. He then went liberal. He's preached down at the Cherokee County County Meeting. He's a hero of mine. And now, he's trying to drag as many as he can away from this book. He calls me because I made a stand publicly. He was dragging so many people didn't know no better. And I made a stand publicly on Facebook two years and a half ago. And it got under him. And he still calls me. And he's trying to show me error in this King James Bible. A man who stood for years and preached. This is the only Bible. I'm telling you. You say, well, preacher, we know this. Hey, listen. It's good to stir up our minds. If it can happen to men like that, it can happen. We need to drill it into our children's brains. This is the only book. This is the only Bible. We don't need to let them go to school places where they're being taught other versions of the Bible. Hey, I'm telling you, this is a big deal. You want me to tell you how big of a deal it is? And I know we ain't got much. I mean, we just started the introduction. This might go on for about 2 years and 4 months. But if it does, it does. What I'm preaching and teaching about tonight, this is so important because if we miss this, we've missed it all. How did Satan get Adam and Eve to fall? Think about it. He didn't come in with neon signs and saying, ta-da, I'm here, la-di-da. No, he's the most subtle beast of the field. And he didn't say, here, I got a brand new saying for you. Nope. He said, God said, and he changed it just a little bit. He said, well, that's just coincidence. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus alone in the wilderness. And the old devil comes to him to tempt him. You know what he does? Jesus is weak. He was a man. He was hungry. He was fasting. He was thirsty. He was in the wilderness. What did the devil do, Steve? It is written, and he quoted scripture from the Old Testament and changed just a little bit. Just a little bit. He didn't change the whole verse. He just changed just a little bit. Made it more easy to understand, easier to read. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And when the devil ever tempts you to put that King James Bible down and go with the new fads and fashions of this world, you look him and speak to him and say, I resist that spirit. That is against God, and I rebuke you and resist you. And it is written.
Amen.
Because we must have our doctrine. If we're ever going to be disciples, our doctrine must be right. It must be coming from the right book. And that's what they're doing today. People say, "Oh, well, it's just a little bit different, just to make them these and thous." No. It's even so big. God said in the last book of the Bible, just so we would remember. Oh, by the way, God, right here, before I put the last period of what I'm gonna tell all of humanity. One of the last things I'm going to remind you, any man add to or take away from my book, from my word, I will blot his name out of the book of life. And you tell me that ain't serious. Tell me that ain't serious business. God said he holds his word above his own name. Amen. As long as I'm the pastor here, that's how it will be. I thank God for the pastor who stood on God's word all these 50 years. And by the grace of God, 50 more or till Jesus comes, we're going to stick with this old black back King James Bible. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I done lost my glasses. So, ain't we having a ball tonight? 2 Peter 3:18. But growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, a personal relationship with God begins with salvation. If you are not sure that you have been saved or don't fully understand what that means, then ask the person you are meeting with or ask somebody here at church. Ask me, and we'll be glad to explain it to you. And take what? The Word of God. I don't ever tell people. I used to do this. I used to tell people, you lost and you love Jesus and you're convicted of your sin, you're ready to repent. Hey, listen, trust me, I've led, I don't know how many people to the Lord. Now, I don't say that braggadociously, I'm just telling you. I've tried it a bunch of ways and I've messed it up a lot. And I can promise you, the best way is to take this word and show them what God said that they are. I'll say, look right there and read that to me. Read that for yourself. No, I mean out loud. Read that. And because this word, listen, I don't have power to convince anybody. I don't have power to convict anybody. Neither do you. And I sure don't have power to convert anybody. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall, have a preacher except he be sent? And what's a preacher going to preach but the word? And you take that word and you show them. Take them over there, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. And go on over there. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you let them read that. He's saying, do you believe what God said? He said that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Do you believe what God said? You take them to the book.
Amen.
Part of the discipleship, they shouldn't be. This is a shame, but you'll be amazed how many people in Baptist churches don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord. That ought not be. You should. Somebody comes to you and says, I need to be saved. You should be well ready and able to take the Word of God and introduce them to the God of heaven. Amen. Well, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So once a person is saved, discipleship is the process of learning what it means to follow Jesus in obedience and growth. That's what discipleship is. Learning to follow Jesus in obedience and growth. You know how to learn to be obedient? That Bible. It tells you. Tells you what you can do, tells you what you can't. Thou shalt not. Sins of omission, sins of commission. We commit things we ought not, and we omit things we should. Amen. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, simply put, a disciple is a committed follower. A committed follower. Hey, do you know there's going to be saved people in heaven that ain't disciples? Never was. I guarantee you there's saved people in here tonight that's not a disciple. Not just in heaven, in here. Saved, yes. But are you a committed follower, obedient to Christ? Well, if you ain't, and I ain't, we ought to be. We need to be. He deserves no less. For we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And that was a high price, the precious blood of Christ. Simply put, a disciple is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Thus, discipleship is learning what it means to follow Jesus fully. Like the Bible said about Caleb. Caleb had another spirit about him. But over and over you see where it said that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. W-H-O-L-L-Y. He wholly followed the Lord, and that helped him to be H-O-L-Y, holy. And if we'll learn to W-H-O-L-Y, we'll become H-O-L-Y, holy. Amen. Amen. What will you learn? Well, being a disciple, we got about 5 minutes. Goodness. Oh my. I'm on page 2. We got 13 pages in this section. Help us, Lord. I need to learn how to preach in fast forward. Beep, how about we DVR it? If y'all can figure out how to do that. Okay, if you want to be a disciple, how many people want to be honest? Hey, before you raise your hand, don't lie in church. Don't lie out of church. But surely don't lie in God's house. I'm being dead serious. Listen, a lot of times we just say, the preacher asks a question, somebody asks a question, we just, oh yeah. And all hands go up. Think about what you're being asked. How many people, I just said what it was to be a disciple, somebody who wholly wants to follow the Lord, who wants to sell out, and I mean commit to following Christ, being obedient servants. How, not just saved. Heaven's going to be full of people who are saved, but so as by fire. In other words, you got in, but that's all you got. What a shame. I know we won't have to ever face our sin. And I don't need to get on this tonight, but I do. But I do need to get on this tonight. Because people have the mentality, well, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I'm going to tell you, heaven's going to be wonderful. And you'll never have to face your sin again. But if you don't think it matters how you live as a Christian and being a disciple, you are sadly mistaken. If you think somebody sold out, gives their life to Christ, wholly follows the Lord, obedient, I mean gives themselves and are dedicated disciples of God compared to some flimsy half in, half out, take it or leave it, lukewarm, lives like a devil through the week, just barely saved. If you think heaven's going to be equal for those two, you are wrong. You are absolutely wrong. It will not be that way. It does matter how you live. Say, well, I'm saved. Are you a disciple? If not, do you want to learn how to be? And if you learn how to be, do you want to be a disciple? That's a serious question. If all I did tonight was come here and get that question to the top of your mind where you'd seriously consider it and ponder it and meditate and muse upon that until next Wednesday, until you're willing to make a choice, yes or no, I really do want to be I want to be more than saved. I want to be a disciple for Christ. Do you? That's what this is all about. And by the grace of God, we're going to take the Word of God and we're going to walk through this and we're going to learn. Over the next 14 weeks, we'll study together, 14 or more together, some of the most vital truths of God's Word. And below is a summary of the topics we'll cover. Scripture will begin, as I mentioned, with learning a little bit about the Bible itself, who wrote it, how we know it's accurate, and why we believe it. It's one thing to believe the Bible. It's another to know why we believe the Bible. You need to know that you believe the Bible, but you need to know why. Do you know how this Bible got to you? Now, I ain't talking about what store you bought it at, but there's a bloody trail. Have you heard God gave us His Word? It'd do us good. We spend time learning about all kind of things. We dedicate ourselves to learning facts and all, about whatever we're interested in. We'll go all out. How to fish, my brother. Oh, he takes all his time and he learned. Hey, why not? This is probably the most important thing God left humanity. The Word of God. It'd do you good. I've spent literally hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of hours, plural hundreds, tracing back every argument that the liberals have, all the way back to where this book come from. Why is this one separate than all them others? And I can tell you, not because I have it in my head, although I do, but I have it in my heart. God implanted it. And I'm telling you, it's worth the time. It's worth the effort for you to know where this book come from. How it got from the one who penned it under the inspiration of God, those holy men of old. How it got all the way from them and traveled throughout the annals of time to 2019. Perfect, preserved, only one.
Amen.
And you can know that. And you need to know that. And if you did know that, you wouldn't be so flippant and get aggravated when the preacher preaches on it. You'd know why it's so important. You'd say, amen, preacher. That's right. I'm going to tell you, we're not going to be one of them flimsy places. I promise you this, if a preacher got up here, which I know the preachers who come, and nobody better not ever invite a preacher without me knowing, or a singing group. But if anybody ever come up here and guess, I would stop them. Mid-service, I'd stop them. I'd step up here and say, excuse me. You can have a seat. That's how serious I'm. Listen, this is God's Word. It's to be respected and reverenced. Yes. Men have bled and been burned at the stake that we could have a copy of this book. Yes. And so we're going to learn a little bit about the Scripture in the Bible, who wrote it, how accurate it is, and why we believe it. We're going to learn who God is. We'll cover the nature of God and understand who Jesus is and how the Holy Spirit guides us in the Christian life. Bible reading and prayer. And I know you hear that so much coming from preachers. So many messages, you hear that over and over. Need to read your Bible, need to pray. I've preached that so much till I'm blue in the face. But you know what? I'm going to keep preaching, Brother Jackie, till I'm blue in the face and older and grayer, until there's no more breath left in this body. You need to read that Bible. You need to pray. You need to get a prayer life. You better have you a place. Oh, I pray going up the road. Good. That better not be the only place you got. You better have you a place. That's why the Bible says, go into your closet. You need a place, because if you just say, I'll get to it, you won't get to it. The devil will see to it. Your flesh will see to it. You won't pray. You may pray a day or two, but you will not have a consistent, effective prayer life if you do not have a place to go and pray. I mean, you personally ought to have a personal place that you and God meet.
Amen.
I would highly suggest you have a time.
Amen.
Yes, that's right. Well, I know this is elementary, but my goodness, most of us have failed primary class. I'm being dead serious. Hey, if I was to give you, we gotta be done. Listen, I'm right now done. Last year, do you know what the average time that Christians said they prayed? A day. Less than two minutes a day. In this dark, demonic, devilish world we're living in, if you think 2 minutes a day is going to get you through and you're going to have any victory at all, you are sadly mistaken. Oh, it may cost you. Listen, you know how I got a prayer life? Miss Connie, it's truth. I played around and just pray, 15 minutes a day or whatever. When I started pastoring and the devils of hell started coming after me, I was a Christian a long time and didn't develop a real prayer life. But I knew I was going to drown, and I would not make it if something didn't change. I knew there had to be more to the Christian life. I knew there had to be more power that I could plug into. And I said, I ain't got time, Lord. I got youngins. I got youngins running around everywhere. I mean, they loud. And I mean, when they wake up, goodness. You talk, what do you mean a quiet place? What do you mean quiet time? There ain't no such thing as quiet time, a quiet place. The Lord said, get up before they do. I said, but Lord, that's back when I was sleeping good. That's back when alarm clocks had a meaning in life. These days, I don't need an alarm clock. 3 o'clock, I'm up. I'm honest. I'm telling you the truth. At 3 o'clock, because I started, and I had to set the alarm clock starting out for a long time. But I said, from 3 to 7, that's 4 hours, me and God. I'll give you the first part of my day, 4 hours. It changed my life.
Amen.
Are you listening? Oh, it cost me some sleep. I get wore out in the evenings. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing in this world. Are you listening? And the devil will fight you over it, probably more than anything in your life, even reading the Bible. But you ain't going to be a disciple if you don't get a prayer life. Our churches are powerless, including this one. You know why we have great revivals like we had? Brother Rackler was here. We had a good revival. But it was over about as fast as it come, back to normal. You know why? Because we have prayerless church members. We'll have a revival that lasts, where the fruit will grow on after the meeting is over, when people on these pews begin to get a real prayer life. I remember when the altars would be stained with wet tears, grandmas, grannies praying for their lost family member. Brother Ned, you remember them old mourners' benches? Wasn't nothing for the preacher to dismiss while people still gathered around the altars, praying all night long, burdened for their lost son, lost daughter, husband or wife. What happened to them days? Well, God didn't change. We did. We got hard-hearted, stiff-necked. Just like I started a service, I'll close. These pews are padded, soft and comfortable. Brother Jackie was so nice to go and cut the air conditioner on, cool the preacher and the people down. And boy, that's so nice to be able to put it on climate control. It's nice, ain't it? But we've got soft. We've got so soft. So needed. I mean, boy, we it's like we got to have it. But I tell you what, before power lines were run, and people had electricity to light their homes when they had candles and burning, get heat from a wood stove and had outhouses. And hey, they had more power then.
Amen.
Than we got now.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying? God help us. Well, we're going to get through this book. We're on page 2. So maybe that'll give y'all time to get y'all's books next week and we'll start together. But I shared what the Lord put on my heart this evening. Let's stand together. Our Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the honor, God, that you've allowed us to be a disciple. God, we failed you. Lord, I've failed you miserably at being a disciple. Lord, I've settled. God, help me. I've settled with just being saved. As great as that is, Lord, you deserve so much more. God, help us convict our hearts of just being saved. Oh, yes, we're headed for heaven, but what about our family, Lord? God, what about our church members that sadly will never develop in any kind of spiritual maturity because they have no one to disciple them? God, I pray you'd burden our heart. I pray you'd give us a conviction, Lord, that would fall upon our hearts, Lord, a burden that would come upon us, Lord. God, that we would bury our nose back in the Word of God, bend our knees and find us a closet again, no matter what it costs us. God, that we'd grab hold to the horns of the altar and pray until we pray through, God. God, help us to return to a place of repentance, oh God. Deal with sin, that we could sit before you and be still and just know that you're God. Oh God, our children need us, Lord. God, we're powerless. Oh God, we're powerless, Lord. We're losing our children, losing our grandchildren. God, I beg you, give us a church full of disciples, Lord. Oh God, give us some mamas and grandmas saying, by the grace of God, I'll not live without the power of God. I'll be a servant. I'll be a disciple. I'll wholly follow you, Lord. I'll give you my life, lock, stock, and barrel. I pray you give us some daddies that will sell out to you, Lord, realizing their sons and their daughters, oh God, their spiritual life, Lord, even their souls depend on it. God, I beg of you in Jesus' name, convict my own heart, Lord. I've got so soft in my own life, Lord. I pray you'd help me, Lord God. Oh God, I pray you'd help me, Lord. Quit you like men and stand in this evil day, Lord, and do what it takes, whatever it takes, Lord, to be a true disciple of Christ. We'd wholly follow you in Christ's name. Amen.